Amen.
Go for it, Scotty.
Hello. Can you hear me? Mark? Mic check. Hello. We're good. Put a thumbs up. Cool. Okay. Click a check. Whenever you're ready, Silv, I'll start. Before we start, come and have a hug. Come on. Right, anyway, so today I'm going to talk about love. It's tied in nicely. I know it's a bit of a cop-out, isn't it? Blah, blah, blah. I know about love. I know God loves me. Blah, blah, blah. I know Jesus went to the cross for me. But do you know? Do you really know? Do you know how much he loves you? As Christians, we know God loves us no matter what, right? But do we understand? Do you understand how annoying you are? You are so annoying sometimes, people. I mean, as people, not you people in particular. You know, we are difficult to love. Some people just need a high five in the chair with a face. That was for you, Helen. You love that. So, do we know how difficult we are to love? You know, we don't love everybody as people, as humans. Why? Because everyone's annoying. They are. Everybody's bleeding annoying. I'm gonna get kicked out of the church after this. I've completed it. But everyone gets on our nerves. Everyone just won't be lovable. Why isn't everybody lovable? It's true, right? You'll laugh because you're thinking of, you know, I love this person, but they're kind of annoying. But God finds a way to love us through that. You're not too annoying for God. I found this story that I think kind of makes my point of what I'm saying a little bit. An 80-year-old man. An 80-year-old man was sitting on the sofa in his house, along with his 45-year-old, highly educated son, when suddenly a crow perched on the window. The father asked his son, "What is that?" And the son replied, "It's a crow." A few minutes later, father asked the son for a second time, "What is that?" Son said, "Father, I've just told you, it's a crow." Okay, so a few minutes pass. And the old father again asked his son for the third time, "What is that?" At this time, some expression of irritation was felt in the son's tone when he said this to his father, "It's a crow! It's a crow! A crow!" A little after, the father again asked his son for the fourth time, "What's that?" This time the son shouted at his father, "Why do you keep asking me the same question again and again, although I have told you so many times? It is a crow. Are you not able to understand that?" He needs help, this guy. A little later, the father went to his room and came back with an old tattered diary, which he'd maintained since the son was born. On opening a page, he asked his son to read it. When the son read it, the following words were written in the diary. "Today my little son, aged 3, was sitting with me on the sofa when a crow was sitting on the window." Didn't see that coming, did you? "My son asked me 23 times what it was. And I replied to him all 23 times that it was a crow. I hugged him lovingly each time he asked me the same question again and again for 23 times. I did not feel irritated. I rather felt affection for my innocent child. While the little child asked him 23 times what is this, the father had felt no irritation in replying to the same question all 23 times. When today the father asked his son the same question just 4 times, the son felt irritated and annoyed. So, And that's quite a good story. How many times do we do this? How many times do we ask the same question? How many times have you been in a car with your kids and they've asked this question? They know they're not there, they're sitting in the car. Come on. How many times do we ask God the same question? How many times, how many times do we ask God the same question that we already know the answer to? You may not be thinking, oh, I don't do this. I don't ask God the same question over and over. But I do. I ask him the same question on a weekly basis about different things. God, please let England win the Euros. I know the answer's no. It's been no every time we've played football for the last however many years. But I still ask him. God, I need to study the Bible. Why can't I study the Bible? The answer is the same every time. Is, we'll start doing it and I'll open your eyes. I'll help you read it. God, why is this? Why is that? Why can't I do this? Well, because you're not trying. Well, blah, 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 blah. He answers you the same thing every time you ask. Things you already know the answer to. And we've all got our own individual things in our own lives that we ask every time. But we keep asking. But God gives you the same answer and the same answer and the same answer patiently. Every time offering you a hug in his own little way. Now, I'm sure he does this with each of you with certain things. Why? Because he's a patient God. He's very patient. The verse next said, he passed in front of Moses and said, I am the Lord, I am the Lord, the merciful and gracious God. I am slow to anger and rich in unfailing love and faithfulness. So, God is slow to anger. He's compassionate. And slow to anger pretty much means patient, doesn't it? If you're slow to anger, you've got to be pretty patient to be slow to anger. Not only does God keep answering our questions and is slow to anger and getting frustrated with us answering the same questions, but he is rich in unfailing love towards us through this. He's not poor in failing love. Wouldn't be good reading, would it? But he is rich in unfailing love. You know, the amazing thing is that he loves us even though we're annoying. He's always there for us. He is patient in love. Okay? Have we established that? Everyone's agreed with us there? God's better than us. He's a bit more patient than us. Okay? So God 1, us 0. Like football. Did you see that? That wasn't towards anyone in particular. Who's he looking at? Maybe he was. Now, we've all got that one person in our life that we, I don't want to say don't like, but we don't get, okay, we hate them. we don't like some people. We've all got one. If you can't think of somebody, that person is you. No joking. Everyone loves you. You're great. There are those people in our lives that are just difficult to love. We want to love them. As Christians, as nice people, we want to love them. We want to show them love, but we can't do this some things. Because some people sometimes do things to you that you couldn't possibly forgive. How could you forgive them? They are terrible. I'm on your side here, guys. They are terrible. Hate those guys. You know? And I always tell stories about my family. I'm going to do it again because you guys need to be a bit patient and get used to it. Now you're thinking at this moment, I know what you're thinking because I am one of you. You're thinking Scott's going to talk about his family, which means he's shown patience because Scott loves his family. Scott is a saint. I'm going to just go. We done? That's what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. But it's not one of them stories because I'm not a saint. I know I've shocked you. Give you a few backgrounds, a little bit of background behind it. I've got an auntie. She's 5 years older than me. We was very close growing up. In fact, I'm born on my birthday, it's the 19th of December. I'm waiting for you to get your diary out, write it in. Big present, 19th of December. No? Okay. My birthday is 19th of December. Give you a second. Okay. So Christmas is about 6 days after. In fact, it is 6 days after. It's not about, it is 6 days after. And my nan and granddad thought it would be a good idea to get my auntie, as 5 years older, a doll's pram. No doll. Got a doll. Born 6 days earlier. I nearly had the picture, but I thought, no, that's just, no. So I was a doll. I don't hate her for that. That wasn't her fault. But we was very close. We grew up together. I lived with my grandparents and my auntie for the first few years of my life. And we grew up very, very close. So much to the point that a few years ago, I was asked to be act as father of the bride at her wedding because her dad was ill. Before you ask, yes, I did smash the speech. It was brilliant. They still talk about it now. But we were very close. But growing up, my granddad, I didn't really see him much because he wasn't the nicest guy in the world. He was lovely towards me, but towards my parents, different members of my family. So I wasn't allowed to see him. My parents took me out of that. I wasn't allowed to see my granddad. But I'd grew up close to him the first 12, 13 years of my life. So I continued to kind of see him on the sly every now and then. When we moved to Birmingham, when I'd come down, I'd try and see him and try and keep it a bit hush-hush. But my auntie didn't really see all of this. And my granddad, he became very, very ill. And he got taken into hospital. He got admitted into hospital. And I wanted to go and see him because it was essentially you've got to say goodbye. This is it. But my auntie said, no, you're not going to say goodbye to him. Why should you go and see him when you've made the choice to not see him for however many years? It wasn't my choice to make. It got made for me. But we were close. So anyways, I spoke to another one of my aunties that was still allowed to see him. And I went and I saw him and I prayed for him on his deathbed. Then a few days later, he did pass away. So lots of arguments started because of that. Because I went to see him. And his funeral came along. And to make a long story short, my aunties, three of my mum's real sisters, three aren't. So although my granddad acted like a dad to a lot of them, he actually wasn't a real dad, but blood dad. So we got left out of the funeral quite a lot. We was treated like strangers, all of my part of the family, and it was really not nice. My auntie was real instrumental to that because she'd done all the planning. So no, we stopped talking because I couldn't forgive her for that, for all that she'd done through that time. And then I got engaged with Lydia. You might know her. I didn't get engaged to anybody else. That would make mentoring really interesting. And then my nan passed away. And I thought, okay, I want to be good with my auntie. I want to make good. I want her to come to my wedding. You know, this is silly. So I went and with the intention of forgiving her. And so I saw her and I went, not to talk to her, because it's not the time when you get air out of your problems, but to give her a hug and say, you know, how are you? Are you okay? How are the kids? I went over. She didn't acknowledge me. She wouldn't talk to me. She turned her back on me and just treated me like a complete and utter stranger, which is heartbreaking. And I can't forgive her for that. Maybe one day I can, but I can't. Now, this isn't good. It's not good that I've got such a this mentality towards her that I cannot forgive her. It's not. But I'm sure we all have this situation with somebody in our lives that we really can't really forgive. We say we do, but by forgiving them, we just ignore them and don't talk to them, but haven't actually dealt with the problem, which is what I'm doing here. You know, our love and forgiveness doesn't always stretch that far as humans. Now, I know this is something I need to work on because as a Christian, you know, being able to forgive is very important, I feel. But I didn't tell you how to forgive, how important, I know it's important to forgive, but I didn't tell you this because I want to tell you how to do it and how to overcome that. It was to explain that as humans, as earthly people, we struggle to forgive. Sometimes there isn't always a happy ending. Sometimes there isn't always a, but now I forgive her. And it's all roses. And we go for afternoon tea. It's not all like that. But in that situation, God would forgive. he would find a way to really, really forgive her. I mean, how many times have you done something bad? How many times have you... I don't want you to put hands up with like 10, 9, 100. And, no, don't want you to do that. But how many times have you done something bad? In the eyes of God, maybe. But then you turn to God in prayer and he forgives you. In fact, he forgives you and he answers you. And he shows you love in that. Now, I've done it tons of times. I'll probably do it this week. Do something to wind him up, say, God, I'm sorry. And he'd be like, yeah, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Don't do it again. He loves me. He's my dad. Of course he loves me. Do you know, we may get it wrong. We've got a God there that forgives us and that will listen to us. And he'll still be there to comfort us and to love us when we need him. I keep pointing at that, but the clicker thing's here, isn't it? A few examples of that. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. I'll be merciful. I will remember their sins no more. I'll forget it. I'll forgive you. Forgive, forget. Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. I'm struggling with that. Forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. That's the important part of this verse. As God in Christ forgave you. He's already done it. God is saying here that he'll remember our sins no more. He will forgive us. He's already done it. He's already forgiven you. He says it there. As God in Christ died for us, while we were still sinners, he's died for us. He's not going to do it. He's done it because he forgives you. He's done it for all of us here. You know, he's forgiven us for the things that we've done. He's forgiven us for the mistakes we've made, for the hurt we've caused to each other, to him. You can hurt God. You can upset God. You know, he hates it when we turn our back and walk away. You know, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to stop being sinners. He said, while we were still sinners. He didn't wait for us to be perfect. He died for us while we were still sinners to forgive us. And he accepts us into his house to praise him. And he accepts us here to praise him, to be with him. He won't just turn his back when you walk through the door. No, he waits here for you to praise him. He waits in your houses for you to open the Bible and say, yes, come to me, come and talk to me. He waits, he looks forward to it. Waits to meet you every Sunday morning. He just hopes that on a Sunday morning that you don't just turn up and sit, sing a song, sit, listen and walk out. He hopes that you'll, in your own capacity, try and search for him on a Sunday. When you're worshipping, actually try and talk to him. He hopes for that. Because he's forgiven you for your sins and is still waiting to love you. Sometimes we let our sin of the week block us from letting God love us. We're not letting God love us. We're understanding that God loves us on a Sunday morning. Now, I can't go to church this week. I've had a terrible week. I've done this. I've done that. Who cares? If you don't come to church, how can you sort it out? Your problem with coming to church isn't between you and the people here. It's between you and God. If you don't come to church and make it right with God, not only are you not, it's not forgiving others, it's not forgiving yourself. So God is great. All of that started with forgiveness towards you. All of that, God, Jesus dying on the cross, started because he wanted to forgive you. You, 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 you. So God forgives us when we're not very good towards him. Okay? So that's, we're in agreement. God's a bit better at forgiving. What's the score? 2-0? 2-0 God. It's doing good. It's not going to extra time. So God is slow to anger and he is forgiving. Two things that we're not all the time. We are sometimes, just not all the time. Not most of the time for me. Now, those people that we're not patient towards and that we can't forgive, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't give them things, would you? Pretty sure of it. Wouldn't be kind enough to go out of our way to treat them and make sure that they're well off. You don't like them. You don't forgive them. You're not patient enough to listen to them. Why would you give them stuff? I know certain situations with certain people, we're brilliant at giving. We're good at giving money, good at giving time, good at giving prayers, good at loving, good at giving gifts towards certain people. But a lot of people, let's be honest, we couldn't care less. Let's be honest. And the people we aren't too keen on, you wouldn't give them the key to our house, would you? Yep. But God does. God gifts us with a lot of things. Gives us unconditional love. Someone to turn to when we're in a time of need, when we're struggling. Someone that you can talk to. Spiritual gifts, which I'm not going to go into, because if you know me and you spoke to me about them before, it's a very long conversation. It's a whole nother sermon. But he does. If you want to know about it, talk to me after. I'll have fun, but we'll have to find a coffee. In James 1:17, it says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Do you know? Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Every good thing we've been given is from above. You know, it's all blessings that God gives you. He does all of this. Right? He gives you all of this stuff. He forgives you. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. He's patient towards you. And does all this. And he gives you the key to his house. Literally, he gives you the key to his house. You know, through the Bible and through Jesus, he gives us the tools to heaven. How cool is that? He's given us the tools in order to get to heaven. He's given us the key to his house. In John 3:16, I don't know if you've heard this verse, so I better read it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Right? Say no more. How amazing is that? Whoever believes in him, because he loves you so much, you don't have to perish. In fact, live forever. Just do it. He died for your sins. He died to forgive you. Just do it. So not only are we annoying and unforgivable at times, he forgives you and says, "Come and live with me where you can annoy me some more." I haven't found proof of him saying that we're annoying in the Bible, I don't think. But I'm just going with that because I know you guys. Do you know? How have we earned that? How have I earned that? I mean, you might be thinking, yeah, I've earned this because I've done this and I've done this and I'm great. But I don't know how I've earned it. I don't do much. So God gives us gifts even though we suck. Hat trick. 3-0. I think it's in the bag. Now, do you think that we're worthy of his love? Are we special? As humans, we love a few people. People that are extraordinary in our lives. We love them people. God loves us all. Now, all of us ordinary, boring people, God shows extraordinary love towards. He even loves you Bruno Mars style. Just the way you are. Oh, it sounded better in my head. That's it. Joe, guitar. Come on, we're doing this. All right. Another day. We'll do it for worship. You know, he shows this through Jesus and his 12 disciples. You know, and the people he chose to follow him. He chose fishermen to follow him. Well, fishermen of the day weren't the smartest people. They were just average Joes. They wasn't smart. They wasn't the most talented people. You're talented. I love you, Joe. Forgive me. Patience. All of that. Do you know, they didn't really have, they couldn't do any like ironwork or anything particularly special. So they just fished, they just grafted. But God chose them. He also went to another extreme and decided to have a tax collector in Matthew. Now put your hand up if you really like tax collectors. Was that an honest answer? Someone's got to. Do you know, so we don't really like tax collectors nowadays when we're pretty all right. Can you imagine how they felt back then when people didn't have much to begin with? So Matthew wasn't the most liked man in the community, and God loved him and chose him. I've done a bit of research about tax collectors at the time. I found this. During the time of Jesus in the first century Israel, there were publicans and tax collectors, because that's what they called tax collectors as well, who could walk up to a man in the street and tax him for what he's carrying. So you bought something, you put it in your car, and he's come up to you and taxed you for what you're carrying. That would really bug me. That caused so many fights, wouldn't it? Let's be honest. You know, they'd just done that. Much more. These tax collectors were hated. They were despised because they were usually fellow Jews who worked for Rome. The Romans were their occupiers at the time, the Jewish occupiers. So during the time of Jesus, in quick breakdown, Jews didn't like tax collectors because they perceived greed and collaboration with the Roman occupiers. But God loved him, chose him to follow him as an example, and showed him the path to heaven. Jesus was a Jew, you know, but he loved him. Okay, so you're thinking now, I'm not an average Joe. I'm not a fisherman. I'm not mean. I'm not a tax collector. So why would he love me? I mean, I'm doing all right. Got a job. I'm pretty good. Why would God love me? So he's chose two extremes. So I dug a bit deeper into the disciples and I found another one who was pretty good for himself, okay? Bartholomew Nathaniel. And I found this about him. That he was the son of Talmai, who a lot of scholars believed he was the only disciple that came from royal blood or noble blood. He was of noble birth because his name means son of Talmai. And Talmai, it says in 2 Samuel 3:3, Talmai was king of Geshur. Geshur? G-U-S-H-U-R. Mark, how do I pronounce it? Geshur. Cool. His daughter Makkah was the wife of David, mother of Absalom. But the most important thing there is Talmai was king of Geshur. Geshur, I'm going to pronounce it different every time. So this is the only Talmai in the Bible. It's the only Talmai referenced. The timelines match perfectly. So although it doesn't say in the Bible for 100%, I'm saying this is scripture-ish. But the timelines match perfectly. So it's not 100% fact. There's a very, very high chance that it's true. And it's pretty, a lot of Bible's biblical scholars think that it's pretty safe to say that he was of royal blood and noble birth. How cool is that? Do you know? So literally, Jesus walked with a royal. So he went for everybody. It would make sense. He's got normal people. He's got tax collectors. He's got royals. You know, it's cool. So he loved everybody from all walks of life. And we're from all walks of life here. His love is shown in this room today. It's shown through church. Because of his love for us and what he's shown us and our love for him, we are here today. If you look round, all these people, how many of us would just be sitting in the same room anywhere else? Just doesn't really happen, does it? A lot of you would see Joe in the street and walk across the road. He's scary, he's a big guy. Joe, I'm just bullying you because Judd isn't here. I love you. Okay, me, I'm a hoodie. What? I'm up here preaching. Because of God's love, he's brought us all together. He's given us all the opportunity. It's evident today. Only through God's love is this possible. It's evident because it's nowhere else. Only through God's love is this possible. He doesn't care who we are. He doesn't care what you do. You know, he's forgiven you for what you've done. He's going to be patient with you when you annoy him moving forward. He doesn't care who you are. He just cares for you. He just cares for you. So, yes, God loves you. Little old, boring old, impatient, unforgiving you. Don't know why. He just does. So you're a lucky person. Well, I know it's cliche. But who knows God loves them? Yeah? Don't be too proud. Put your hand up if you know God loves you. This is great. You know, it's quite a lot of you. See, God loves you and you know it. Who's experienced God being forgiven in their lives? God being patient. God gifting. There's a lot of examples. Put your hands down now. So, I mean, I'm going to play a song. It's called Ordinary People by Mary Mary. But this song is just all about God loving ordinary people in the most extraordinary ways. And when I play this song, I just want you to think of the times that God has been patient towards you, that God has been forgiving, that God has been caring, that he's been giving. And after, I'm going to open the floor and open the mic for people to share some of their examples. And I think this is important because, one, it's important to lift up and edify God. If he does something for you and you keep it to yourself, that's good for you. But it doesn't really lift him up and edify him to other people and let people know how good he really is. And two, it's good for everybody else. Somebody might be going through a situation, not knowing what to do, not knowing that he does answer that type of prayer. But if you come up and share, and someone's waiting for something similar, it gives encouragement to give it that one extra push. So I would encourage you to do that. So as I play this song, just think of something that you might be able to share. You know, I'm not going to force you to share. If you don't share, I'll look like a dipstick. So, no pressure. But yeah, just really think of ways that God has been patient, forgiving, and giving. Okay? So whenever you're ready, don't you? I know it's quite funky, but church needs a bit of funk every now and then, doesn't it? So I'll start with an example, and if you, as you feel led, do come up and share, because I think it is very important to share. I'm going to share an example of giving. Growing up, I wasn't the nicest person in the world, especially towards women. In and out of relationships, treating women like they were dirt. Then really got to know God, and I was praying for about 2 years. Like, God, I really need a Christian woman. I need a Christian girl in my life that's going to respect herself, that's going to respect me and really keep me on track and really gives me the push that I need to do the things that you want me to do. And then through that, God gave me Lydia. It's a gift as such, but he gave me the opportunity to meet Lydia and to build that relationship with her. And that for me was very important, a very good gift of giving, because I know Lydia is a gift from God to me, in order to build that relationship and do what I'm doing now. And now 5 years down the line, we're engaged, we're getting married, and that is only because of God's goodness, God's grace. So there's my example of giving. So please do come up and share if you feel something.
I've just been reminded how when I first became a Christian, and I wasn't really very good at reading the Bible, I didn't really know how to do that, and I'd forgotten how often I used to do it. I just used to open the Bible up, and if I had a struggle or a question, and I'd just open it, and how often God would just give me a word or a few words that just spoke straight into my life in that moment. And yeah, it's just really reminded me of just how, and looking at that picture of the big world and how at that time, looking back, he was just in my life and he was just waiting for me to ask. And he just spoke to me through doing that, just opening his word, and he'd speak straight into my situation. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Anybody else got anything they want to share? If not, I'll just pray. Have a minute of silence in case someone does want to share something while Joe's getting ready.
Sing a couple of songs while I get up then.
I can sing the Bruno Mars one.
Hi guys, thank you for your lovely welcome today. It's lovely to be here. It's great. You know the phrase in the Anglican Church, the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God. I've known that peace. A few months ago, I went up to King's to have an operation on my spine. Not only did they have to break my spine, but they had to open my spinal cord and take out a tumour that was in there. Now, normally for an operation, they'll knock you out, don't they, before you even get into the operating theatre. But no, my surgeon will be into the operating theatre, pointed out all the machinery they were going to use, computers and sensors, and it was an 8-hour operation. And I should have been so scared. I should have been truly frightened, because I didn't know whether I was going to come out paralysed. I might have died. It was really risky. Look at me. Praise the Lord. But what I really wanted to say was, as I was in the operating theatre, chatting to all these people who all had their special jobs, the anaesthetist, the ultrasound person, I didn't feel worried at all. I felt such a peace. And that's not bad going for such a difficult situation. And I said to my surgeon before he started, and all the others, do you know about 50 people are praying for me and you now? And he looked a bit nonplussed, and I thought, oh dear, I hope I haven't put him off. But it was fine. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep you in the knowledge and love of God forevermore. Amen.
I'd like to share with you. I'm like everybody else in this room. Really, really naughty and annoying before I was a Christian. Very impatient and frustrated. Anything would be able to frustrate me, but stress would be the worst. And my work become so stressful and I was so frustrated. Then actually I felt hatred against the colleagues I was working for. And it means that I just could not love them anymore. And thanks God, he gave me a way out to leave my work and become a gardener and work for myself and be stress-free. And now when I'm frustrated, I'm thinking, well, he gave me a second chance. I don't need to stress out. I just need to forgive and forget. Amen.
Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness, for your patience, for the gifts that you give us. Thank you for those examples, Lord. You've done so much for us, and I pray for all the ones that wasn't shared, that you bringing our bad to the front of our memories will really start something anew again. I pray that we'll be on the lookout for your patience, your love, giving your gifts, Lord, in the future going forward. Thank you that you love us no matter what, that you care for us no matter what. Don't care who we are, what we've done, you care for us because we are yours. I just thank you for that. So I pray go in heaven, lead us in a bit more worship, that we'll feel free to boldly approach your throne. We won't be timid in worship, Lord, that we will be a real outpouring here, Lord Jesus. It'd be real freeing, Lord, not caring what people think, Lord Jesus. Just thanks of love from you. Thanks that you love us so much, Lord. And I pray there's a new understanding of your love, Lord Jesus.
To you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know as I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround. Spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes, let me see you face to face, the knowledge of your love as you live in me. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds. My life is living every day in the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me. To your side, and as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. So hold me close, let your love surround me. To your side, and as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Thank you, Father, for all that you've been doing in our hearts throughout the service today. I thank you for this opportunity that we've had to come together and to meet with you, and I ask that as we go out into the rest of our week, we'll continue to focus our hearts and our minds on you. Thank you, Father, that you are never distant from us, but you are always close. And we ask that you'll help us to sense you close to us today, Lord. Amen. There is opportunity for prayer. The prayer team will be standing at the back with the yellow banners. So if there's anything that you'd like prayer for, or you just want people that you can pray with, then please approach one of the friendly prayer team members. Otherwise, please can you help by tidying up your glasses and mugs and all, anything else that you've got on your tables, and help pack away. And we will see you here next week. Dismissed.